Good morning. Our text for today is taken from Mark chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that he has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives and his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith." Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town, and if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." And so the disciples went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, sometimes we think we know a person perfectly, and then it turns out we didn't know them at all. That was the case for me when my first day in the eighth grade in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. First day. And it was going to be a great year. I had lots of friends on the football team and just fantastic year. And I'm going through the lunch line, and this little short guy butted in front of me, if you can believe that. I was a lot bigger than he was. And he just pushed his way in front of me. And I'm like, hey. And so we started having words back and forth. And sure enough, we decided at the end of school, we were going to fight. Good way to start the year, right? And so when school was out, we went to the appointed place that everybody went to fight. And of course, all these people gathered around. And I got up there and I was just ready to let him have it because I knew this guy couldn't fight. He was short. He was scrawny. I was a good fighter. I knew exactly who I was facing. And just as I was standing there about to do something, he punched me in the face. It's the first time in my entire life that I was punched in the face. And it stunned me. And from that point on, you know, it was go time. We both just started going at it. And all of a sudden I heard screech of tires. And I looked over and there's a Trans Am ripping up here and just slamming the brakes on. And out came this huge girl. She was about 17 years old, a lot bigger than me. And she started wailing on me. So not only did I learn now that this kid could fight, but also that he had a sister who could also fight. Well, probably 10 minutes later, I finally broke off and he and his sister left in the Trans Am. I went home, we cleaned ourselves up, went to church that night. It was church night. And went into the classroom assigned to my grade. And who was sitting there? This kid. I learned another thing about him. He was a member of my church. And during the Bible study or whatever, we got to talking and we apologized and became my friend. And then another thing I learned about him, he wasn't a loser. He was cool. So just from my first superficial view of this person, I thought I knew them completely and I knew nothing about this guy. We run into this when Jesus comes to back to his hometown of Nazareth. The people of Nazareth are sure they know everything about Jesus. Okay, they know his family, and they know what he does, and they know where he's from. So they know his family. It says they knew his mother, and his brothers, and his sisters. We know him. That's the family he comes from. It's interesting, too, they knew what he did for a living. And notice it doesn't say that he was the son of the carpenter. It says he was the carpenter. By the way, that's a misunderstanding. The Greek word used here is tekton. And it doesn't really mean carpenter, you know, someone building cabinets and chairs and stuff like that. It really has more to do with being a construction worker, working with stone. So the fact that it says that Jesus is the tekton, the carpenter, the construction worker, tells us that Joseph, and the fact Joseph wasn't mentioned earlier, Joseph is probably dead. And of course, the firstborn son would take over the father's business to support the family. And so he'd probably been doing this work for a while, and they knew him. That's the guy you go to if you need some construction work done. That's Jesus. They also knew where he was from. He was from Nazareth, right? Everybody else thought Damaris was a joke, but here he was. He was their hometown boy. He was one of them. Now, all of these things were partially true, this very superficial view of who Jesus was, except it was lacking in a lot of respects. Certainly, Jesus' mother was Mary, but they didn't know that Jesus' father was God. They knew that Jesus was a carpenter or a construction worker, but more than that, they did not know that he was the Messiah and the Savior of the world. And they knew he was from Nazareth. In fact, he wasn't. He was living in Nazareth. He was from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born to fulfill the prophecy. So here they have this incomplete view of who Jesus truly is. And because of that, they respond to Jesus' teaching in their synagogue. And they respond with disbelief. How could he know these things? In fact, it's kind of interesting. It says that Jesus was amazed at their disbelief. And it is not easy to amaze Jesus. I went through all the Gospels looking for this word. And the only one other time I could find where Jesus was amazed, and this Greek word was used, was when Jesus was amazed at the faith of the centurion. Now the opposite is the case. He's amazed at the disbelief of who? Not just the townspeople, not just his friends and neighbors, but his relatives and even his close family members. They disbelieved. And what was the response to this? What came from this disbelief? Matthew puts it this way. It says, and Jesus did no major miracles except healing a few people. Mark puts it very differently. Mark says Jesus was not able to. He could not do any great miracles except heal a few people. And that brings up an interesting question. Does our disbelief hamstring the power of God? Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians that believe that. That whether you are blessed or not, and whether you receive the answer to the prayer you're looking for, depends on the strength of your faith. And in fact, your salvation depends on the strength of your faith, as if faith is something that we build up in ourselves. Sometimes the consequences of this way of thinking are horrible. On my vicarage, I visited she was like an 8-9-year-old girl who was dying of liver cancer, and her pastor would not visit her. He would not visit her. Why? Because her faith wasn't strong enough. If her faith was strong enough, then she wouldn't be sick. Which certainly cuts down on hospital visits for that pastor, right? It's ridiculous. In Romans, Paul says very clearly, God demonstrates his love to us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died. No, our unbelief does not stop God from getting done what he wants to get done. But here's an important point. The God-given faith we have responds to the works of God. And we see that when the disciples are sent out. It's interesting that Jesus talks less about what they should bring and more about what they should not bring. Don't bring anything. He says, because you're going to be going out and doing God's work. You're going to be preaching the gospel. You're going to be casting out demons. You're going to be healing people who are sick. And if people see that in faith, they will respond to it by supporting you. If they don't see it, then you have to move on. It's interesting how Jesus assumes that there will be rejection. Of course he assumes that, since his own townspeople and family have rejected him at this point. What's interesting about this is, it's not like Jesus didn't do any miracles, right? I mean, he didn't do any major ones, but it said he laid hands on a few people and healed them. For me, that would be enough, but not for these townspeople. It wasn't enough for them to believe. They simply couldn't see. Well, we can. We have the God-given faith to see the promise of God's love in the person of Jesus Christ. We have been given the God-given faith to see the love of Jesus Christ in his death on the cross. And we have the God-given faith to know the promise that we are called children of God because God calls us that. And that changes the entire direction of our lives and the perspective we have in these lives. I was thinking about a lady years ago who told me a story. Her mother was dying, and so she had to fly home to be with her before she died. And so she was, there's a lot of angst, a lot of stress because of that, added to the fact that she was, did not enjoy flying. That added to the stress too. And as she was flying in the airplane, she looked out the right window, and all she could see was this massive thunderstorm, which made her stress even higher. And as she was looking at these huge thunderheads and looking at the lightning out there and being worried, all of a sudden, there was this golden light that appeared around the window of the fuselage there. And of course, that light came from the other side of the plane, through that window. And looking through that window, she saw the most beautiful sunset she'd ever seen in her life. And it occurred to her, she said, "Pastor, that I really made the decision which window I was going to look out. I was going to look out at the storm, or I was going to look out at the beauty of God's sunset. But either way, Pastor, I was going to be home, and I was going to be with my mother." I really think that's true for us today as well. I mean, we can look out the window and see the darkness, and yet in faith we still know the light is there, even though we can't see it. And in faith we can see that light and be comforted by it every day. But whether we look at the darkness or look at the light, we know our Savior is bringing us home. I thank God for the faith He's given us. And I thank God that especially He demonstrated His love, that while we were still sinners and in our unbelief, Christ died and He made us His. In Jesus' name.